The reading's from Proverbs 25, verses 9 to 20, and it's on page 660 of the Church Bible. If you argue your case with a neighbour, do not betray another man's confidence, or he who hears it may shame you, and you will never lose your bad reputation. A word aptly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. Like an earring of gold or an ornament of fine gold is a wise man's rebuke to a listening ear. Like the coolness of snow at harvest time is a trustworthy messenger to those who send him. He refreshes the spirit of his masters. Like clouds and wind without rain is a man who boasts of gifts he does not give. Through patience, a ruler can be persuaded, and a gentle tongue can break a bone. If you find honey, eat just enough. Too much of it and you will vomit. Seldom set your foot in your neighbour's house. Too much of you and he will hate you. Like a club or a sword or a sharp arrow is the man who gives false testimony against his neighbour. Like a bad tooth or a lame foot is reliance on the unfaithful in times of trouble. Like one who takes away a garment on a cold day, or like vinegar poured on soda, is one who sings songs to a heavy heart.
Thank you for that. And need to thank the vicar for the kind introduction. If ever there was a title that was wrong this morning, it was describe our bishop as being out of shape. He's probably the fittest bishop in the Church of England. So if you apply that to tonight's speaker... but Simon tried to hide that in his introduction, but I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. We're going to look again tonight at a few verses from Proverbs, the book that... The wisdom of Solomon, as it's often known. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, and thank you that we can look tonight in the year 2012 at words written thousands of years ago, and yet just realise as we see them on the screen how relevant they are. Help us tonight to both understand and to put into practice some of the things that we read. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you were here a couple of weeks ago, you may have 2 minutes off. The introduction to Proverbs, written by Solomon. Why is Solomon wise? Why is he so well known for it? At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon as he was becoming king during the night in a dream. And God said, ask whatever you want me to give to you. Solomon responded, give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? So God responded to him, since you've asked for this, and not asked for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have you asked for death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart, so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you've asked, what you have not asked for, both riches and honour, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. And that's why it's good for us to read and note the wise words of Solomon. God said to him, since you haven't asked for things for yourself, but for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you've asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart, one above all others. These words, of course, were BC. They were before Christ. We're now AD. We're now after Christ. And Christ changed things. And I just want to put that little word of caution in before we start reading some of these verses. Jesus' arrival on the scene, when we're told that if we believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we will be saved, there is the centre of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Following on from our belief in Jesus Christ comes the lifestyle and all the little tips and words of wisdom that Solomon produces here. It isn't the other way around. It's not living the life that Solomon has recommended and then saying, that gets me to heaven. It's believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And out of our belief in him, so our lifestyle changes. And Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. First for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. So let's just bear in mind what matters in the Christian church we're in is that Christ is within. And out of Christ being within, the Spirit of God, the power of his Holy Spirit, so the life that we're going to look at, or just three things we're going to look at tonight, follows. And I've got back to a good old style of preaching tonight, and I've got three R's. I didn't realise that until I'd finished preparing. And the first one is rebuking. Rebuking. The passage we had read said, like an earring of gold or an ornament of fine gold is a wise man's rebuke to a listening ear. And it intrigues me that we take it for granted that children will be rebuked. And it happens with great frequency for many children. And nobody stands back from that and says how awful this is. Why? Because that's the way the child learns. They're rebuked. You mustn't do that. But when children get beyond childhood, we're very reluctant, particularly as Christians, to rebuke adults. We're not good at it because we rather fear that it's going to hurt the person who is rebuked. And it probably does, in the same way as it hurts a child, though the child tends to recover fairly quickly. Like an earring of gold or an ornament of fine gold is a wise man's rebuke to a listening ear. And I have a number of little illustrations that I'm going to use tonight that have come from my own personal situation. I'm concerned, having reached the grand old age of 75 earlier on this year, that people say, what a nice chap Lynn really is, he's a lovely guy. We'd hate to hurt him. And therefore, there's a great risk that I sit on Christian committees and people would be reluctant to say, well, you're a nice guy, but really, you're past it. You ought to resign. I preach sermons here, and as I said to Simon a few months ago, I need to be in a position that people say, yes, your contribution is needed. If need be, the rebuke that says, yes, you've done a good job, but... Now, we are very, very reluctant to rebuke. And I think it's a pity for all of us that we can't, in honesty and in gentleness, rebuke our adult friends. Just as children grow, so I believe we do. Rebuking requires, firstly, I've put here wisdom. A word aptly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. Aptly spoken, wisdom. Peter got it all wrong. Do you remember? Jesus said, I'm going to build my church on this rock, Peter. And then he talks about himself and his death coming up. And Peter says, oh, no, no, no. Peter rebuked Jesus, which wasn't a clever thing to do. And Jesus, of course, turned round and said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." We need wisdom in rebuke. Peter was lacking in wisdom. It was not a clever thing to do, to rebuke Jesus Christ. Rebuke needs wisdom. Rebuke needs tact. 1 Timothy, "Do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as if he were your father. Treat younger men as brothers." In business terms, as many of us sitting here tonight are well aware, appraisals are quite brutal businesses, or can be. If there's a fairly bullying boss and you have your 6-monthly or annual appraisal, you can have a very rough time. Not just a rebuke that is a rebuke in love, but a rebuke that is one of extreme criticism, a rebuke that tears you apart. We need tact. And Timothy says, "Do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as if he were your father. Treat younger men as brothers." A very close friend of mine, who is a very bright man, PhD and so on, got caught in a dreadful scam not very long ago. A very sordid business, but he needed some help and he rang his son. And son very sensibly said, "Dad, you've got it wrong. I'm not going to help you in this situation. You've made a very bad mistake and you've got to get out." And Dad found it very, very difficult to accept the words coming from his son. But his son was absolutely right. It was done. Dear old Dave did it in great love, went and saw him, chatted to him, was very tactful but very firm that what Dad had got involved in was just a dreadful scam and it needed to be stopped. Wisdom, tact, timing. Let me just make 3 comments about my own personal situation. I was converted, I became a Christian when I was in my early teens. And it came about because one particular guy who I respected, he's recently died, said to me, "Look, you're a great guy at school," and I wasn't one who was a criminal at school in any shape or form. But he said, "Do you not realise that what matters is belief in Jesus Christ?" And we sat down and talked together. And he very gently rebuked me for feeling that the life I was living was perfectly adequate. Then a few years later, when I came to a career choice, again, I'd sort of spelt it out for myself, was talking to a Christian friend who said, but Lynn, you're a fool. Well, that's very kind of him, but it was said nicely. And it shook me, but the result was a complete change in my plans as a sixth former just about to leave school. And my, what a wonderful change it was. It was because somebody came along and said, "Glenn, I'm not going to pat you on the back. I'm not going to say to you, well done, you've got a place at Liverpool University to study engineering." It would have been a dreadful issue, but he said, "You're stupid. That isn't for you." It was exactly the right timing. And then later on in my life, right at the end of my business life, the chap who built up our firm wonderfully over 25 years, an outstanding man, was coming to retire. And my partners in the firm, and there was 80-odd of them, said to me, "You're a mature, wise," all these sort of words that get tossed around. "Will you sound out the other partners in the business as to who might be the replacement?" Because we were all dreading how one replaced this guy who really was the firm. He built it up from nothing to be a very major player. And I was treading treacle. I was talking to people around and getting all sorts of answers and what do you think so on. And one of my partners, bless him, dear old Anthony, he said, "Glenn, you're an idiot." I said, "Well, thanks." He said, There's only one person to do this job, and it's you. And you're flaffing around, and people aren't being honest with you. They're talking about all sorts of nonsense. Don't be stupid. And again, I took a very deep breath and thought back. He was absolutely right. He was absolutely right. I was a bit scared to take it on, but it was the right thing for that firm and for me at that time. But it came from the timing of a rebuke. And I just would want to plead with us. We'll look at our last heading on rebuking. Forgiveness. We can have timing, we can have wisdom, but we need forgiveness. Luke chapter 17, verse 3, talks about forgiving our brother. Watch yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. Rebuke him. That's the right thing to do. If he repents, forgive him. Revenge doesn't come into it. We can forgive. We can't forget always, but we can forgive. Rebuking requires these things. And Solomon is big in mentioning that in these verses we've looked at tonight. So there's my first R. Don't worry, the others are quicker. Secondly, reputation. Now, these are two of my favourite verses. Jesus grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom and the grace of God was upon him. Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favour with God and men. Jesus was one who had a great reputation. A great reputation. And I feel very strongly that Christians, you and I, if we're seeking to serve Jesus Christ, need to be those who have got a reputation, that people will say, there is a man, there's a woman of some honour. Who would you trust, him or your doctor? Not much doubt, is there? How about her or a politician? Reputations get built up very, very easily. They can be demolished very quickly. Interesting words in Acts chapter 5. Peter and the apostles had been preaching and got themselves into quite a turmoil with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And Peter said, the Sadducees said, we gave you strict orders not to teach in this name, Jesus. Yet you've filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty as this man's blood. Just turn over a page. And as Peter and the apostles ran every risk of being killed, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, who was honoured by all the people, stood up in the Sanhedrin and ordered that the men be put outside for a little while. The bitterness, the hatred, the way in which the crowd had been whipped up against Peter and the apostles was just cut out completely by this chap Gamaliel, a Pharisee, a teacher of the law, but he was honoured by all people. He stood up and ordered the men be put outside for a little while. And then later on in that same chapter, his speech, it says in verse 40, persuaded them. His speech persuaded them. The reputation of the Christian, the way in which it can so easily be lost, but the importance of having one like Jesus who people looked at and honoured. And then my final R, reliability. Solomon says, like the coolness of snow at harvest time, is a trustworthy messenger to those who send him. He refreshes the spirit of his masters like clouds and wind without rain. Like clouds and winds without rain is a man who boasts of gifts he does not give. Like the coolness of snow at harvest time is a trustworthy messenger. Reliability. One of the nicest things that have been said to me was some years ago where I took over, at very short notice, the chairmanship of a company. The previous chairman, who'd done a massive amount in building the company up, died suddenly on holiday of a heart attack. And I got drafted in. And after about 4 or 5 months, I suppose, the wife of the chief executive, who I'd got to know quite well over that period of time, he ran the business, and I got to know his wife similarly. And she said, "Lynn, it's very reassuring to David to have you as chairman because you're reliable. He knows what's going to happen at meetings. He knows how you will handle things." And it was a lovely word. It was a very reassuring one from my point of view. Reliability. The people should be known for their reliability. Like a bad tooth or a lame foot is reliance on the unfaithful in times of trouble, says Solomon. Unreliability, like a toothache or a bad foot, it's always with you. You can't get rid of it. I think your knee was all right, wasn't it, Chris? But if you're walking around at Lee Abbey on a walking week and you've got a bad knee, you can't sort of get rid of it. It's there every step you take. And don't we all know what toothache's all about? Reliability. We should be the people who can be trusted. A job well done. This has been said many times before, and it'll be said again, I'm sure. We have a wonderful building here, and it's great that there are reliable people. I was sitting in the church office last week, and a phone call came through, and Peter took it, and it was somebody being very concerned that they couldn't fulfill their duty to clean the loos. They were on the loo duty, and the person on the other end was really quite distressed and said, I can't do it. Peter, bless him, very reassuringly said, don't worry, it's covered, we'll deal with it. But reliability, we take for granted, and we have every right to take for granted, because we need to be those who are reliable people. Why? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Other verse in Proverbs, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Straight paths are what people look for. Isn't it true? They want to know which way we're going. And we can rely totally on God. He said there won't be any more floods that devastate the earth. There won't be. We know the seasons come along. We complain about rain in the summer, and of course we do. But we know the seasons. We now know, without any doubt at all, that come September the trees, leaves will fall off the trees and so on. We know it's going to get pretty cold in December, January. Yeah, there'll be days that are better than others. But we know. God is a God who one can totally rely on. I've said often in the past, you can know what lighting up time will be in the year 2017 or whatever, because it's right to the second. God is one who is totally reliable. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Finally, can God rely on us? Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always, right to the very end of the age. When you think about it, who can spread the good news of Jesus Christ? It's got to be us. There's nobody else around to do it. The Bible is there, and people read the Bible, and people come to a knowledge of Christ through it. Yes, no doubt about that. But basically, it's us. Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations. And the question, the challenge for us as we finish tonight, is if we can rely totally on him, can he rely totally on us? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the words of wisdom that we've looked at tonight. And we pray that you will guide the path of each one of us. Father, help us to be brave when needed to rebuke. Father, help us to be those who are consistent in life and have a reputation, a good reputation. And Father, may we be reliable, reliable to our friends and colleagues, and above all, reliable to you in going into the world with the good news of Jesus. And we ask it in his name. Amen.